It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
So James Shaw is unavailable today, but I got to speak to Green Party MP Gareth Hughes about a range of Green Party related issues. We discussed Japan resuming commercial whaling and what New Zealand can do about it. We also discussed the issue of microplastics and what effect they are having on people and the environment. And finally, Gareth talked to me through a few of his projects and priorities. Here is Gareth. Japan has resumed commercial whaling after 31 years. Why do you think that this has happened now?
Yeah, well, they've finally left the International Whaling Commission, the body which has managed the moratorium on commercial whaling. So they've finally, instead of whaling in the South Pacific Ocean near Antarctica, they've decided to fish for whales in their own waters. I think they've finally decided because they're sick of the international criticism they're getting at these international forums. But it's such a terrible step forward, and these are magnificent creatures, and we shouldn't be hunting them for food.
I just sort of, I'm wondering about, obviously there's been sort of the so-called research whaling. Do you think that now with this reinstatement of commercial whaling, that the numbers of whales being killed will increase, or will it be sort of the same, but that sort of research whaling will sort of go out the door and it will be more sort of labelled as commercial whaling?
Yeah, well, research whaling was always a sham argument. You know, there was no actual peer-reviewed science that came out of it. When Australia and New Zealand actually took them to the International Court of Justice, they found it wasn't true research whaling. It was simply a guise for commercial whaling. So on one hand, they're being a lot more explicit. This is about commercial whaling for food. You know, this was never about science. So the numbers of whales might increase. But on the other side of the coin, the popularity of whale meat in Japan has literally plummeted over the decades, and new generations of Japanese just don't eat whale meat anymore. So I wouldn't be surprised if they see declining numbers of whales being killed.
There has been a lot of talk about that there is not as much interest in eating whale meat in Japan. So why do you think there is such a push to continue commercial whaling if people aren't going to be eating it?
Yeah, it really baffles me why Japan would be so persistent despite the international criticism they face over whaling. Given I understand they've got around 5,000 tonnes of whale meat in cold storage, they can't sell the stuff, yet they're prepared to go slaughter more whales. I think it's partly cultural, partly political conservatism, partly pushing back against international rules when it comes to fisheries, where, you know, we need to protect our oceans from overfishing, and this is perhaps an argument for the independence or the autonomy of Japan on the high seas. There's lots of different arguments that people have put forward, but look, it's 2019, our oceans are in crisis with climate change, acidification, it's filling up with plastics. The last thing the whales need is to be slaughtered by Japanese whaling fleets.
What can New Zealand do about this move? Is there anything that our government's able to do, or will it affect us in any way?
Yeah, well, I'm really glad that the government has come out and condemned it. They've said they're concerned by this development. This is something, you know, I called on the Foreign Minister to do. We've got a really strong tradition of standing up for the whales. You know, we were once a whaling nation ourselves, and we've turned around to seeing whale tourism and conservation as a much smarter step. So we did join Australia's case at the International Court of Justice. We need to keep using every international avenue to raise our concerns and to support Japanese to focus on whale conservation and tourism. It's a much better bet than slaughtering these incredible animals.
Fantastic. So let's move on to talk a little bit about microplastics, because I know you just mentioned plastics in the ocean is a huge problem. Now, it's recently sort of been reported that the average person has been said to consume a credit card size amount of microplastics every week. What are the implications for this for people and the environment, considering food safety and plastics like this entering our waters?
Yeah, well, we just don't know. We're running a huge global experiment on the human population, and we're going to have to wait to see what the impacts are. But it's something that deeply troubles me. I hate the sense that we're eating a credit card size of plastic every single year. I was pretty struck when Jaskovo, the international explorer, a few months back sailed to the deepest part of the ocean, the Mariana Trench, more than 10,000 kilometres down. And there in the deepest part of the ocean, he found a plastic bag. I mean, for me, it just shows what an impact humans are having on this planet, and we really need to reduce plastic at its source to stop this mass amount flowing into the environment and impacting us and other species.
So you're saying there's a big sort of study going into this and what sort of effect it has, because we don't know. But what exactly is New Zealand doing to look into this ourselves?
Well, New Zealand's doing a bunch, actually, and just this morning the Minister for Waste Minimisation, Eugenie Sage, announced a new $3 million fund where the government's going to 50-50 invest in 100% recyclable food packaging. Obviously, food waste and plastics is a huge issue in New Zealand. We've banned plastic bags, which is a wonderful step forward. We're funding through the Waste Minimisation Fund Scion, a Crown Research Institute, to actually count on Auckland beaches and Auckland water what the impact of plastic is, so we can manage that. And when it comes to microbeads and personal care products, we've banned that as well, and I'd like to acknowledge the previous government who started the work on that. So the government is acting, because plastic waste is a huge issue, and it's really impacting the environment, and particularly marine birds, marine animals. Some of the autopsies have found these animals have literally been full of plastic waste when they died, which is for me a really horrible, sad thing, and unavoidable, because there are alternatives to plastic readily available in our society.
Would you possibly be able to talk a little bit more about that announcement that Minister Eugenie Sage came out with today, and what sort of effect that will have on the food products that we buy in supermarkets and everywhere?
Yeah, so this new funding from the Waste Minimisation Fund, this is money which has been paid for when people, drop off the rubbish at the landfill, or have their rubbish bags picked up. There's a little levy that goes onto that, and this money is contributing towards finding the solutions and the alternatives. So this 50-50 investment partnership with Pact Group Limited is going to develop a range of 100% recyclable food products. You know, this is everything from containers to packaging, which, given the health and safety and hygiene reasons, is why we use a lot of plastic in New Zealand. So we need to find these 100% recyclable alternatives. Also, when you look at the research and development sector within government, Scion, who work on primarily wood products, they've told me recently that every single use we have for plastic in society, there are natural bio-alternatives available. So I guess it's a massive problem, but I love the idea that New Zealand could be part of the solution. We could be coming up with the new technology, the new developments, and then we could be exporting those around the world, helping other countries to reduce their massive plastic problem.
Those sort of products that they're talking about would be the way, I don't know, your packet of chips is packaged by a company. They could use that technology instead of using plastics. Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, well, this new funding is to find 100% recyclable uses of plastics. So it's recycling the stuff we're already producing and finding a new use for it. But I would point out there's also bio-alternatives. We see some Kiwi companies doing amazing stuff, literally with potatoes, finding bio-alternatives for plastic packaging. So between recycling and new bio-alternatives, I think we've got great options in front of us.
It absolutely sounds like it. So now I'd like to ask you a little bit about what you're up to and what your plan is for sort of the second half of the year, if you'd like to talk through some of your projects.
Yeah, well, my big priority is climate action. You know, it is the defining issue of our generation. It is like World War II, where we have to really mobilise our society for a clean energy economy. So we've got the Zero Carbon Act, and submissions close on that tomorrow. But for me, in the energy portfolio, we've got a massive opportunity to reduce our emissions. I was really proud that the Green Party achieved the end for offshore oil and gas exploration, but it was a bit of a kick in the guts to see OMV, an Austrian oil company, get a permit extension, and they're going to be drilling an incredibly deep well off the Otago coast this summer. So one of my big priorities is campaigning to stop fossil fuel extraction, because the scientists say we've got to leave it all in the ground. We can't afford to explore for new fossil fuels if we want a safe climate. So I'm going to be campaigning and joining the Otago community opposing OMV and deep sea oil drilling. For me, you know, the future direction for New Zealand in the energy space needs to be clean energy, more wind, more solar, more energy efficiency, not looking deep off our coasts, risking our waters, threatening our climate with more oil and gas exploration.
How were they able to extend that permit? Was that sort of a condition of the outlaw of deep sea oil drilling? Was it that people that are already drilling were able to extend permits? If I don't know, how did that come about?
Yeah, so this was a ministerial decision, which, you know, I was deeply disappointed to see. I thought New Zealand had drawn a line in the sand when it came to offshore oil and gas exploration. But by giving this company a five-year extension, it's allowed them to drill this rig. So this new oil rig has come over from China. It's now arrived in New Zealand waters. I was recently very critical of the fact that they've given nearly 70 non-resident visas. So we even miss out on the jobs on the oil rig. Meanwhile, it's threatening our coast and climate. So what the Green Party wants to see is no new fossil fuel exploration. We need to be taking this time to invest in clean energy and using what energy we have more effectively. That's why it was great to see the new electric vehicle fee-based scheme rolled out by Julianne Genta, because this is the direction we should be looking at, encouraging clean electric vehicles, not looking for more oil.
And with that that electric vehicle announcement, it's been met with a little bit of negativity, I know, by the National Party. What is your opinion about electric vehicles and sort of the tax involved with that, and what effect that will have on the public in terms of expense?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's an incredibly smart, effective policy, because what you're doing is encouraging electric vehicles, but also sending a price signal for the least efficient vehicles. And ultimately what that's about is saving people money when they're filling up the tank. So we've got a huge opportunity in New Zealand to electrify our transport fleet. I mean, we import, you know, $6 to $9 billion worth of oil every year. We could be using our own clean electricity, which is much cheaper, instead of imported fossil fuels, which is damaging the climate. So I think National's response has been absolutely hysterical. I think incredibly reckless. I think they've played fast and loose with the truth, and I think they're just making a mockery of their claims to have turned over a new leaf in support of the environment. I'd note their own policy points in this direction around registration and vehicle costs, so I think it's an incredibly disappointing sign that National seems to be so negative and reactionary, which actually is a smart, effective policy.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.